Good morning and welcome to Question Period. I'm Evan Solomon. Busy show today, beginning with Trump's GOP war.
This is by far the most important vote you've ever cast for anyone at any time.
Is Donald Trump's towering inferno of a campaign now igniting a civil war inside that party? The former U.S. Ambassador David Wilkins and David Frum are here on the Great Republican Rift. And then, cash for access? Why are the liberals charging $1,500 for dinner with the finance minister? It's legal, but does it break the liberals' own rules of access? MPs are here to debate that. Also today, Canada's Trump. Is this country's biggest reality television star and businessman ready to jump into the conservative leadership race? Kevin O'Leary is here to jump into our Shark Tank. All that plus...
The 2015 election will be the last federal election using First Past the Post.
Is Justin Trudeau flip-flopping on a big Election Day promise? Ed Broadbent joins us on the scrum. This is Question Period. Let's go get some answers. A very crowded conservative leadership race just keeps growing. At least 15 people are either running or considering a run to take the top job of leader of the official opposition. Does this all sound a bit familiar? Remember how the Republican race in the U.S. started off a long line of people vying to lead that party? We all know what happened there. A businessman turned reality television star became the Republican candidate for president, Donald Trump. But could something like that happen here in Canada? In a new Abacus poll, businessman and TV star Kevin O'Leary is by far the front runner, and he's considering a run to replace Stephen Harper. Joining me now, Kevin O'Leary. You know him from Shark Tank, where he's Mr. Wonderful. But he's here on Question Period. And Kevin, we got to start with the question that everyone wants to know from you. Will you run for the Conservative leadership of Canada?
You know, Evan, that's a great question. That's a fair question. But I look at my optionality in this situation, and I can be the last person to decide because I have one attribute many of the other candidates don't know. Pretty well everybody in Canada knows me. They don't necessarily like me, but they know who I am. So I don't face that big uphill battle of having to get my name out there. It's out there already.
There was actually a meeting in Toronto, not open to the media, where some of the candidates who registered, who are throwing their hat in the ring, actually were there to debate. You were there with them. Who impressed you in this?
You know, I would think right now, and I think this could change, and this is a personal opinion, I look at three of them right now that certainly have traction. Traction by just ideas, traction by fundraising, traction by people coming out to hear them speak. It's Scheer, O'Toole, and Bernier. Right now, and Leach was there too, but her message is very dangerous for the Conservative Party.
Her message of a values test for immigrants, you call that dangerous?
I do, because the party lost on exactly the same principles. Canadians are very open, and I, as a half Lebanese, half Irish, can't endorse a platform like that. And I've let her know, I'm not going to endorse that. I'm not going to let this party make the same mistake it made just a year ago when it lost a landslide to Trudeau. We can't do that. The party has to reinvigorate itself, reinvent itself, be more encompassing, bring more millennials in, be a party for every Canadian that cares about Canada's future. Because right now it's bleak. And so what we heard from were three candidates that look like they're getting some traction: O'Toole, Scheer, and Bernier. Right now they're the leaders if I stay out of the race.
Okay, let's do rapid fire, go through some issues. This week, Maxime Bernier had a very controversial proposal regarding health care. He's going to axe the Canada health transfers to the province and says, you know what we'll do instead? We'll give provinces tax points. It's a provincial responsibility. Get rid of the transfers. This in the very week that the federal government and the provinces are negotiating a new health accord. Do you buy Bernier's plan?
Yes, I do. The big problem I'm having with Maxime is I practically agree with everything he's doing. It's hard to beat him up when I endorse what he's doing. This is a good idea. He's shaking it up, Evan. He's shaking it up with some very interesting ideas to make the whole healthcare system more efficient. I can't say no to that because I agree with it. If I end up competing with this guy, it's going to be difficult because he has a lot of good ideas.
What if you were in a debate and Stockwell Day held up a sign like he did at that famous debate and it said, no two-tier healthcare system? What would Kevin O'Leary say? Would you say, no, I'm okay with two-tier healthcare?
I would beat him. Listen, we need to take the lessons learned from other countries that have solved this problem. Britain, Switzerland, Sweden, Denmark, they have two tiers. They've made it a way so that it works for everybody, and they support all strata of society. We have to learn from that. We can't be so arrogant that we think ours is the only best path.
Yeah, but what about guys like you? Rich guys like you might get better health care than other people that don't have the means. And that runs counter to the Canada Health Act, which has to be equitable and affordable and accessible to everybody. How do you do that?
That's simply not a fact. Make rich guys like me pay for the equipment that runs 24 hours. Why should a dog in this country get an MRI before an elderly person with a fractured hip? It's ridiculous, Evan. It's time to start facing the truth and realize that we could use people that are going to pay for healthcare to support a wider base system. An MRI machine costs millions of dollars. Make me pay. I'm happy to pay. But I want access to it if I'm going to use my capital.
Well, Justin Trudeau says the way to make you pay is to raise taxes on the rich.
Very good idea, Justin. Let's drive all the entrepreneurs out of Canada. That guy hasn't found a tax he doesn't like, but he doesn't understand that at the end of the day, this is not about selfies. This guy is the Zoolander Prime Minister. This is not a fashion show. It's time to start creating some jobs. He's going to have people like me hounding him in this race.
The conservative identity is at stake in a leadership race, and one of the issues is on the price on carbon. You live in Ontario. The PC leader there, Patrick Brown, says he's open to what he calls a revenue-neutral price on carbon. If you were Prime Minister, do you support putting a price on carbon?
Absolutely not. Look what's happened already. We've approached carbon taxation in Ontario, and in July, we lost 61,000 jobs. Think about this, Evan. It's very simple. If you're going to build a new car, and you look at the platform of Ontario, that now has a carbon taxation on that activity. The cost of building the car now increased by the carbon tax. And we've talked about a $10 to $50 price. Every single entrepreneur, business leader, CEO takes the highest price when he considers carbon because you know that's where it's going to go. So $50 a ton. And then you can build it in Detroit, just 20 miles south, and not pay any carbon tax. So Patrick Brown, if he wants to bring carbon taxation into Ontario, even though he's a conservative, I'll campaign against him. I'll work very hard to make sure he stays out of power. People know that. Right now, I'm getting rid of Kathleen Wynne.
You know and I know. People have looked at you and they go, uh-oh, another reality TV star rich guy who thinks he could come in and save the world. We're watching that movie unfold in the United States. Are you Canada's Donald Trump?
Not at all. I don't even have his hair. Let's talk about that. I'm Irish and I'm Lebanese. I have 32 private companies in my portfolio. I speak to Canadian entrepreneurs every day. I'm an investor. I'm a taxpayer. I'm an advocate for Canada being more competitive, and it's not. And number one, I want to treat every politician, including me, should I go into this, as a servant. Performance metrics and transparency. Why should I settle for the mediocrity of a Kathleen Wynne or the policies of a Rachel Notley that's destroying our country?
Because they won an election. It's democracy.
They couldn't win an election today. You give Rachel Notley our chance for Albertans to vote again? Are you kidding? In fact, I would lead a charge to buy her out. If there was a way to actually pay her to leave there and save that province, look at how it's been destroyed.
That's not how you and I both know that's not how democracy works. You can't buy people out. You got to vote them out and you got to throw your hat in the ring to do it.
Evan, a moment of silence for the people of Alberta who have been destroyed by the policies of Rachel Notley. She's an incompetent.
All right, before I let you go, we were just speaking about Donald Trump. The campaign's coming down on the short strokes. The debates are done. You know the U.S. better than anybody. Can Donald Trump win this thing? Is there any chance he turns this thing around?
You know, I work for the American networks, NBC, ABC, CNBC. So I'm fed the polls every day and the actual polls that are done by panel on the internet. This thing's a total toss-up right now. He's tied again in Florida. It looks like the sex tapes haven't done anything in either direction, which is extraordinary. I can't believe it myself. There's a really interesting undercurrent in America today. People are very, very unhappy, as is starting to happen in Canada. When you have basically sub 3% GDP growth, or zero GDP growth as we have in Canada because of broken policies, you get unhappiness. That trend is emerging in America. We don't know yet when they go to the polls in less than a month what's going to happen, but I'll be watching, like everybody else, to these currents and these changes. It may be that Trump voters are more motivated than Hillary voters. We simply don't know.
They're motivated. He's got a motivated base, but the question is, Is it broad enough? He's alienated Republicans, African Americans, Latinos, women. Can he broaden that base? That's the fundamental question with Donald Trump.
I'm holding on to my seatbelt. I think this election cycle in the U.S. is going to be a wild outcome, and it's unknown. Don't